The recent sermons that I'm preaching are the messages that our shepherd preached during the revival meeting in 1993. He preached about God's judgment for five sessions at that time. So from tonight, I'll deliver those messages in a couple of sessions. God's judgment is not something to fear, but it's His love. Just as we heard, we were healed, but we went back to the world again. But when Father God didn't protect us, you know, we got sick again. But after we came back to Father God and repented, we got healed again. They were the testimonies, right? Like others in the testimonies, when we obey the word of God, we are protected. But we don't, we are not protected. That's the beginning of, but so we know that, you know, getting sick is not a misfortune because it is a chance for us to see our Father God again and repent and get healed again. So in the love of Father God, please experience. I believe that you have experienced it. I hope that you can understand God's love through this message and become His true children. First, let's look into the sin of disobedience to Father God. How's life on this earth? Job 5, verse 7 says, "For man is born for trouble as sparks fly upward." The Bible says, man is born for troubles. And why does it say it is full of trouble? Well, the quantity or the quality may be different, but people eat and put on things and they live their lives. But they all go through various troubles in life. Even though you accomplish them all, at the moment of death, you will realize that your life on this earth is a vain. Even though you managed your life with eager and passion, but everything is in vain. It will disappear like vapor. So, what is the cause of troubles in human life? Our God, the Creator, set a beginning and the end. So, there is surely beginning and end in our lives. Before human cultivation began, God made man and blessed him. What kind of blessing was it? We could eat without soil, without toil. There was no evil. There was only peace. Genesis 3, verses 17 to 19 says, "Then to Adam he said, 'Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree by which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall grow for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you will eat bread, till you return to the ground. Because from it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return.'" Even though a man was blessed so, you know, because he broke the rule and law of God and disobeyed God, he was cursed. He was expelled from the Garden of Eden, right? As you can see, sinners should live on the land, which will eventually reach death. Man cannot live eternally on this earth. Everything on this earth eventually see death. Hundreds of year long, old, you know, trees eventually die. You know, healthy-looking men will also die. There were many emperors who wanted to live forever, but they went back to dust. Because we were created from the dust, we actually go back to the dust. Genesis 3:18 says, both thorns and thistles shall grow for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. Because of the disobedience of our first man, people had to labor, toil, and they managed their lives like that, and they eventually die. What are thorns and thistles? Even though you cut them down, they grow back again. The peace of life, the life of peace, eventually turn into life of troubles, right? There is light and there is darkness. There is goodness and evil. Light belongs to goodness and evil belongs to darkness. Father God governs the light and goodness, and enemy devil and Satan governs evil and darkness. But history repeats. The goodness always wins evil. Every people got scared of guns. But the history tells us that the light and goodness that belong to Father God eventually win evil. So, through history and everything in the universe, we have to believe that Father God is alive. Brothers and sisters, God made humans as the Lord of all creatures after His own image. He created the Garden of Eden, drew man there, and He allowed them to eat every kind of fruit. There were trees of life and tree of life, there are two trees, but there were trees, the knowledge of good and then God warned them. There was the only warning the Father God gave to Adam and Eve, free of the knowledge of good and evil. Long time passed by. People didn't remember when a serpent deceived them, eventually ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. By the disobedience of Adam and Eve, sin came into man, and man came to be destined to die by its curse. Eve was deceived, and Eve deceived her husband. But God cursed the serpent to crawl on the ground. Well, we can find it is true, because we can find many witnesses, many evidences. By nature, we hate snakes. Nobody taught us. However, by nature and by instinct, whenever we see snakes, we got shrunk back and we got scared. Like eels, which similar to snakes, you know, we hate to touch them, right? Well, some people ate it, right? Eat it. They look similar to snake, but when we see snakes, we get scared. Well, there are people who are expert at handling snakes. Some people, snakes and they, raise them as pets, but most of people hate snakes, especially ladies, right? Men hate snakes, right? Nobody taught them. But just as written in the Bible, in our nature, we hate snakes that deceived Eve, who eventually disobeyed God's word. That's why we hate snakes. We received our parents' nature. So in our nature, naturally, we hate snakes. We got scared of snakes. From this one fact alone, we can see how true the Bible is. Brothers and sisters, why did God put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil the center of the Garden of Eden, while He made us human after His own image and loved us? Without the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, people would not have eaten from it, and they could have lived in the Garden of Eden happily ever after. They could have lived without tears, without death, without diseases, without pain. Why did God put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil there? Of course, Father God didn't force people to eat from it. Why did he say, you shall die? Chances are the people could have eaten from it, right? All he had to do was just cut it down or don't live there. People may think like this. However, Father God put it there. It is also God's providence. Father God loves us. That's why. Father God created man from his own image. And Father God wants true children eventually. Without this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, where would be the true children? Say, Father God wants true children who are full of love and goodness, who resemble our Father God, who are truly God's children. Well, there is a relativity. I said, there is light and there is darkness, right? If there is no darkness at all, what is the use of light? We don't need the word light. What if there is no woman? Then there is no word man. Since there is a woman, there is man. Since there is man, there is a woman. And the vocabulary exists like that. If we don't distinguish man from woman, then we don't need the word in the man. However, since there is darkness, there is light. Since there is light, there is darkness. As you can see, since there is evil, there is goodness. And since there is goodness, there is evil. Without evil, we don't need goodness. If there is only evil, then we don't need goodness. We don't need even the words. Before Adam ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he didn't know what goodness and what evil was. He didn't know what hatred is. He didn't know what death is. Father God said, you shall surely die. But since he didn't know death, he couldn't understand. He couldn't understand the pain of death. The Garden of Eden was such a place, the place of happiness. However, Adam didn't realize that happiness. Adam could not appreciate the beauty of the garden. Since he did not know hatred, he didn't know the true meaning of love. Since he didn't taste misfortune, he couldn't understand how happy he was. He couldn't understand the existence of happiness. He didn't taste sorrow. He didn't cry. So he didn't know what pain is, what happiness is. Thanks to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we came to know good and evil. We came to know what light is and what darkness is. In other words, we came to know all sorts of emotions through human cultivations. What happiness and misfortune is, what love is, what hatred is, good things, bad things, truth, untruth, darkness, sin, unrighteousness, or goodness, righteousness, justice. We all learn them on this earth. Those people who lived in sin and death accept Jesus as their Savior, and they recover their image of God, right? And when their souls are called, they will go to heaven, and they will be happy forever and ever. We long for heaven. We long for New Jerusalem. Why? Because the life on this earth is full of sorrows, pain, tears. We experience them. We know what true peace is, what true rest is. When we lived in darkness, we were sick, we had pain. Then we met God and we accepted our Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and we came to have peace in our heart. The burden was gone. The pain and sorrow was gone. So now understand that Even though as we manage our Christian life, we feel happy, but when we go to heaven and New Jerusalem forever and ever, we will be happy. We will have joy all the time. I'm not sure. Someone said, when we sang praise of heaven, only two cried. Pastor Mi-young Lee and Pastor Mi-kyung Lee, they were the only two who cried when we sang the heaven songs. But they said, are you sad? Well, I'm so happy to think about heaven. Nowadays, I long for heaven more and New Jerusalem. Unlike any other time. Of course, you know, I managed in good Christian life and I'm in peace, but, you know, eventually especially in this moment of blessing, I long for the days in heaven and New Jerusalem. I could even sense it in my In normal life, as we witness the power of God, you know, every day and every year, in a year, you got no time to be bored, right? From time to time, there were events in the church. There were many witnesses and cases of power of our shepherd. Of course, you know, we were full of heaven and New Jerusalem, full of hope for heaven and New Jerusalem. But as we experience some, you know, the moment of, you know, some difficulties, we kind of long for the life in heaven and New Jerusalem all the more. You know, how beautiful it will be when we build the Canaan Sanctuary and Grand Sanctuary and eventually go to heaven and New Jerusalem, and how peaceful the life would be. So when I sang the heaven praise, you know, my heart got thrilled. So, do you long for heaven and New Jerusalem all the more? I guess so. On this earth, we experience sorrow, pain. But when we go to heaven, beautiful heaven, it is full of grace, only with joy, thanks, with people that we love. When you imagine it, it will make you full of joy, right? So Father God gives us this hope, and our shepherd gave it to us too. We can feel the love of Father God and of the Lord. And our Father God manages us like that. Our mommy members, since we can long for heaven in New Jerusalem, you are so thankful. Since we understand the relativity, we can feel the love of our Father God. And we can be naturally thankful for our lives on this earth. However, Adam was not like that. As we experience in joy and sorrow, you know, and cries and, you know, death and tears, as we go to heaven, then we can be thankful before Father God. On this earth, along with our shepherd, we experienced many things. We enjoyed many things. We shared many things with our shepherd. Now, as we go to heaven and New Jerusalem, then we will recall the days of this life and we will be happy with our shepherd. Some people say, you know, our life on this earth would be full of joy. Well, if it is so, then it's not easy to go to New Jerusalem. We should be able to rejoice even in the course of the difficulties. We should be able to give thanks. Only those people are those who are diligent in taking heaven by force. So if you, instead of, you know, feeling some, you know, difficulties, you know, they rather give thanks and give glory to Father God. And they are faithful to their given duties, even though they are facing some troubles and difficulties on them. So when we go to heaven, we will glorify our Father God and sing praises to our Father God in heaven. We will say, wow, heaven is so beautiful like this. Those who fall to hell will be jealous of us. Right? Those who know goodness but without knowing evil, those who know the world of light but without knowing the world of darkness, they don't know the true meaning of happiness. Let's say your child became unconscious. So your child does not know sorrow and pain. Your child cannot sense it. Now, as you look at your such child, would you say, my child is happy? Because he doesn't or she doesn't feel or sense happiness, sorrow, pain, or something like that. Would you say your child is happy? I don't think so. Even though your child is breathing, he does not know he's breathing. He does not know whether his parents are looking down on them. They're just lying on a sick bed. So parents cannot say, since you don't know pain, you don't know tears, you don't feel sadness, you know, you look happy. The child, the parents would not say like this. Parents would try all means to revive the child, right? Before eating from the knowledge of good and evil, people in the Garden of Eden was like this. They don't know what happiness is. They don't know what love is. They just eat from the trees. They just sleep. They do not know the true meaning of happiness and love. They just live there. That's why Father God put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Eventually, people were deceived by the enemy devil and Satan and ate from it. Just as Father God warned, they died. And they were cursed to go back to the dust where they were created from. And they were expelled from the Garden of Eden. But Father God did not put his beloved children alone. It was Father God's plan that our Father God had before ages for human cultivation. That was the moment when human cultivation truly began. When man lived in the Garden of Eden, you know, he learned goodness by obeying God. He knew what goodness was. Now, he's learning evil because he became son of enemy devil by obeying to the enemy devil. Enemy devil stand against God. So, the enemy devil in a taught man in evil. No murder, jealousy, hatred, adultery, stealing, disputes. They plant darkness and evil. That's why sin and evil become more rampant in this world. Teachers and parents teach righteousness and moral. However, people do not become good. They rather become even more evil. But now, people are more evil than 50 years ago, 30 years ago, or 20 years ago. People are born with their sinful nature from their parents. They received it from their parents. And while they are living on this earth, they see, hear, sin and evil, and they are taught sin and evil. And people commit so many sins and do unrighteousness. God says, wages of sin is death. When people commit sin, and they eventually go die. Hell. Father God is goodness, love, righteousness, and justice. And He is in the light. Darkness cannot see the light. When light casts, darkness should go away. Darkness cannot coexist with light. Therefore, sinner cannot see God the Creator. So, eventually, people lost the connection with Father God. Then, do all the people have to go to the way of destruction? Eternal death? And that's not the providence of Father God's creation. God knew this before the time began. So he knew that man would eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and he would go to the way of destruction. So he prepared Jesus Christ, the Savior, before the time began. When the time came, Father God sent Jesus Christ to this earth, and as he grew up, he preached the gospel about Father God, and he is the creator, and he is the judge. And he said, Father God governs life and death and fortune and misfortune, and he manifested signs and wonders so people would believe in God. It's just like you can find many signs and wonders in the church so that we can believe in Father God. The purpose of sending his only begotten Son to this earth is to redeeming us from our sin. As sinless, Jesus died on the cross for us. Those who believe in the Lord could receive the providence of salvation. As you believe in Jesus Christ, who is the Savior, and open your heart and accept him, and Father God gives the Holy Spirit as a gift, and we become God's children. What kind of life do we have to live after becoming God's children? Do we have to live a life of tears and sorrow and sadness? Should be full of curse and pain and sickness? Why do you still see death even after we become children of God? It's because people disobey the word of God, and they obey to the enemy devil and Satan. So sin entered us, and the wage of sin is death. And we're not the children of God anymore. We went to the darkness by ourselves. So Father God could not protect us. So we were cursed. But in our free will, we disobeyed God and we went to the way of destruction. We obeyed the enemy devil and Satan. We listened to the enemy devil and Satan. And we obeyed the enemy devil and Satan. So Father God couldn't protect us. Now, Father God does not curse us. Father God does not bring curses on us. Father God does not bring troubles to us. It is the enemy devil and Satan that bring us all kinds of troubles and difficulties. In this world, evil people, I believe it is written in the Proverbs, evil people, drive people around them to evil. The light of God, the goodness of God, and love of God make all people, be in peace and love. But the evil people drive all people around them, into, troubles and difficulties. But people can decide it, which side that they can choose with their own free will. Father God never forced us. Father God didn't bring us any diseases. By breaking order of the flesh or of the spirit, we cannot be protected by our Father God. Then we can be sick or we can face some difficulties. But as we live by the word of God, then Father God can protect us. Jesus redeemed us from our sin, and he died for us and shed his precious blood. So what should we do now? If we believe in this fact, then we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. But then we have to come to God and listen to the word of God, and we have to know what the will of Father God is and how Father God is teaching us and how we can go to heaven by faith. What is the duty of man? We gotta, meditate on these things, and we have to recover the lost image of Father God. Those of you who are here, you know this truth. You know the will of God. In this church, we try hard to live by the word of God, right? to cast off sin, you work so hard. Even though it is not for your benefit, you suppress it, you endure it, you try hard to change it, change yourself. Deuteronomy 3, verses 18 and 19 says, Then I commanded you at that time, saying, The Lord your God has given you this land to possess it. All you valiant men shall cross over armed before your brothers, the sons of Israel. But your wives and your little ones and your livestock, I know that you have much livestock, shall remain in your cities which I have given you. And then in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verses 18 and 19, God is saying that the lives of men are no different from animals. Some people say that man is worse than an animal. People accuse their own children or their parents. They do things which cannot be, cannot be written on the newspaper. There are so many, man picking, and some people are under serious violation, especially nowadays. Those rich people, do bad things to the weak. People call it, there is a Korean term, but I don't know whether there is a right term for this in English. But, when some people are nailed down or they are beaten when they don't listen to their seniors, since they would be, they think that, they would be, fired from their company, they just listen. And then you know that in nowadays in news media that there was the CEO of a company who did that. You have to know so many people in the world live in darkness. They live their lives which had nothing to do with truth and light. But we accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior. So what kind of life should we live now? We have to follow the truth of Father God. We have to get out of the darkness. We have to serve our parents because we are told. We should not tell a lie because we are told not to. We should not get jealous because we are told not to be. God told us to love even our enemies, and we got to get rid of hatred. We have to fill ourselves with love. If we keep practicing the word of God, then we can recover the duty of a man. Then we can be set free from all the curses. Curse came to this earth because of sin and evil. But when we come out to light, we can be set free from the curses. As we repent of our sin and turn back and get rid of all the sin from our heart, and when you made up your mind to live by the word of God and put that into practice, what do you feel? You feel refreshed. You rejoiced. You got true peace in your heart. Only those who got no hatred but peace can feel true happiness. When you had hatred, you felt that, you got sick. However, when you got rid of or cast off hatred and fill your heart with, joy and happiness and love and goodness, you're refreshed and you're full of, joy, right? You got no sadness, no sorrow. You are able to give to everybody. That's the moment you feel truly happy. And you solved all kinds of problems. You don't need to be worried about sickness. You received the blessing. When you listen to the word of God, you obeyed. Enemy devil and Satan left you, and you were set free from all the persecutions. Father God is alive like this. Father God is pleased with His children who come to righteousness, and He embraced them, and He set them free from the curse of sin. All the troubles, all the persecutions and difficulties, We got to solve them by the word of God. Then we can be set free. I believe you experienced it. I said about the curse fallen onto a man since Adam's disobedience. Now, let's look, take a look into a result of Saul's disobedience as an example. Saul met Samuel, and he was enthroned to the king of Israel, the first king of Israel. He became king in 1020 BC. So, he existed about 3,000 years ago. After he became the king, he established the capital city in Gibeah, and he fought against many kind of Gentiles and won a victory. But the important thing is that King Saul disobeyed God. As you read the 1 Samuel chapter 15, God commanded him to destroy Amalekites. As you can find in Exodus chapter 17, where Israelites escaped from Egypt, and on their way to the land of Canaan, Amalekites waged war against them. So when Moses prayed with his hands up, Israelites won. When his arms put down, then Amalekites won. So Aaron and Hur, put Moses' arm up. Israelites could, defeat the Amalekites. Father God promised after this that he would destroy Amalekites, and nobody remembered their name. Father God proclaimed. So, Father God remembered this and commanded the king Saul to destroy the Amalekites, to keep his promise. So 1 Samuel chapter 15:3 says, now go and strike Amalek and utterly destroy all that he has, and do not spare him, but put to death both the man and woman, child and infant, ox and sheep, camel and donkey. This is what God told Samuel to say to King Saul. However, Saul disobeyed the word of God. 1 Samuel 15:9 says, but Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good, and were not willing to destroy them utterly, but everything despised and worthless that they utterly destroyed. They disobeyed the word of God. They did things as they see fit. The word of God was to destroy everything of Amalek. But King Saul used his own thought and disobeyed the word of God. So, what about now? There are people who say they believe in God, but they pursue their benefit and they make disobedience. So, Samuel the prophet tried to make King Saul understand. However, Saul didn't repent. He just made an excuse. He put blame on his people. Saul made a mistake. Saul disobeyed the word of God. However, he made an excuse that, I just wanted to give the good things as a sacrifice to God. He made an excuse. Adam was an example too. The woman that you gave to me told me to eat from it, so I ate it. That's what Adam said. He made an excuse. He put blame on Father God. And our Lord, and then our shepherd said, and it is an evil, right? But then in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22 and 23, Samuel said, has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of divination, and insubordination is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, He has also rejected you from being king. Now, Saul was trying to, you know, stand as the king. So even though he said, even though he committed sin, he asked Samuel to praise him before people for his greed, pride, and his benefit. He disobeyed the word of God. And this is like, it's similar to sorcery. It's like divination, insubordination, iniquity and idolatry. Samuel said, rebellion is the sin of divination and insubordination is as iniquity and idolatry. If you read the Galatians chapter 5, it lists all kinds of works of flesh, and one of them is sorcery. And iniquity and idolatry and insubordination were all the sorcery, right? So the judgment should be upon the King Saul, right? He was rejected. You know, when Father God, you know, forsake in the people, then it is such a sadness. If we keep disobeying the word of God, such wage of sin will fall on us. It applies to a country or a family too. Say, if there is a man who does not live by the righteousness of a king, disobeys the king, then the king will feel sad. But he has to pay for his sin, so he would be punished, right? In a family, when parents think it's necessary, they give something, they give orders to his children. But when children do not listen, then parents feel so sorry. Say, for example, a mother gives money to, you know, her daughter to go to school, but, you know, she doesn't go to school and spend the money in somewhere else. When it is, you know, found, then depending on the gravity of the sin, then, you know, the parents would, you know, punish the child. And chances are that, you know, children and parents become later on enemies. Saul disobeyed God like this. So he eventually lost his power, honor, and fame. He went to the way of destruction. If our life has no peace, then our life would be full of, you know, pain and difficulties. When people commit sin, do unrighteousness, and commit sin, they cannot but go to the way of destruction. Why does a man have to be cursed with troubles? It's because of the sin of disobedience. In Genesis chapter 4, we can read the story of Cain and Abel, the sons of Adam. Adam was a farmer, and Abel was a shepherd. Genesis 4, verses 3 to 5 says, so it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. Abel, on his part, also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regarded for Abel and for his offerings, but for Cain and for his offering, he had no regard. So Cain became very angry. There is a sacrifice that Father God accepts, and there is a sacrifice that Father God doesn't. Father God accepted the offerings of blood. However, Father God didn't regard the kings. People say they obey with their own thought. But if it is against the will of Father God, it becomes disobedience. So it is important to, you know, obey the word of God as it is without using our thought. We gotta obey just as Father God sees fit. Father God already taught them what kind of offerings or sacrifice Father God wanted to receive. Just as he heard Abel gave what he was taught by God, so Father God regarded it. However, Cain gave something as he saw fit, so Father God didn't regard it. Then Cain became angry, and his countenance fell, as said in Genesis 4:5. Then he eventually killed his brother Abel. God, told Cain to control his sin, but, Cain stoned his brother to death. Even though they were the first children of Adam, they committed sin of murder. Yeah, Cain committed the sin of murder by killing his own brother. A man of goodness will turn back and become a man of obedience. However, Cain came into more evil and committed sin of murder. But he completely disobeyed the will of God. Later on, all kinds of fleshly works of flesh came out. What was the judgment came upon him? Genesis 4:11 says, "Now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand." This is what the Lord said to Cain. Cain gave what he would like to give, which Father God was not pleased with. When creatures, human beings, do not believe in Father God and do not obey, the result is obviously destruction. Especially Christians who know the Word of God. When they disobey, they eventually go to the way of destruction. Cain did it. Saul did it. When they disobey the Word of God, they receive the curse. Christians, when their lives are not prosperous, it's because they committed sin. So you gotta solve this problem. In other words, you have to destroy the wall of sin before Father God. The beginning of man ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They disobeyed God. So the curse of death came onto all human beings. They have to live a life of soil on this earth. And Father God sent Jesus Christ to give true life to mankind and gave us true word. But when people don't obey it, the result would be death, destruction, judgment, and curse. Our mommy people learned why curse came down, why there was judgment. We learned it through our shepherd. People disobeyed God, so they didn't live in light. They didn't live their lives in justice and love. They were instigated by the enemy, devil, and Satan. They lived their lives in sin and evil, unrighteousness, unlawlessness. So they faced all kinds of troubles, persecutions, diseases, and worries. And they eventually go to death and hell. So if you have this kind of thing, you got to obey the word of God. You gotta make up your mind. You have to follow the holy will of Father God in justice, in goodness, in righteousness. You gotta make up your mind like this and change yourself for sure. We have to live by the word of God as we recover the lost image of Father God. Then we can live the life of blessing that Father God gives. Now, I'll explain about the word, "I will blot out man from the face of the land." Christian life is not to live a life as you see fit. Christian life is to live by the will of God. We have to practice righteousness according to God's will. Exodus 15 verse 26 says, and he said, if you will give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight and give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have put on the Egyptians. For I, the Lord, am your healer. You gotta do righteousness in the sight of God. But if you do righteousness on your own thought and on your own will, then it has nothing to do with Father God. So you gotta know the heart and will of Father God when you want to obey God. Then Father God will be pleased with you and He will bless you. As you deal with people, then some people have goodness, some people have evil. You can feel it, you can sense it. Those who grow up in goodness, they may have good nature. However, those who grow up in evil may have some evil nature in their hearts. Matthew 12:35, our Lord said, the good man brings out of his good treasure what is good, and the evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. In the Bible, example of man of goodness is Joseph. Joseph and Maria. Joseph was a righteous man, as written in the Bible. He knew that Mary got pregnant. So he wanted to quit. He was full of gentleness and love. He was a man of goodness. By law, back then, lady in adultery was stoned to death. Deuteronomy 19:21 says, thus you shall not show pity, life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for food. That was the law of God. Some people misunderstand this. You say life for life, eye for eye, and tooth for tooth. New Testament is the testament of love. Father God made this law. Why? Because do not give more than written in the Bible. People are evil. So when you are harmed by someone, you want to harm him not as equal, but more than that. So only eye for eye, not eye for two eyes. The two eyes for one eye. Father God knew our evil heart. Father God set up this law. But it is different in the New Testament. Jesus Christ died on the cross. He showed his ultimate love. So it's not valid anymore. Life for life and eye for eye. And it is the will of God. Joseph didn't follow the law. Since his heart was full of gentleness and goodness, he just wanted to quit. He didn't want to reveal it. He just wanted to quit it in silence. However, Absalom was the opposite. He was a son of David. He was evil when he was young. When the stepbrother, raped his, sister, he was looking for a chance to kill his own stepbrother. And he even rebelled against his own father. And eventually, he saw miserable death himself. Even in our country, you can find some good people. Lee Yul-gok. He was a son to Shin Sa-im-dang. And he learned good things from his mother. He grew up in good environment. and he grew humble. He was honest, and he received good recognition from people. Later on, he worked greatly for his country. On the other hand, there was a man in opposite, King Yongsan. He lived in the palace, but his parents had always disputes. When he realized that, you know, his mother was killed, he showed him the terrible revenge. When he found that, you know, he sent many people, he had many people killed. The people who participated in killing his own mother. He piled, you know, evil upon evil. And eventually, there was a rebellion, and he was expelled, and he died of disease. There are people who go, you know, astray, even in a good environment, and vice versa. Depending on what kind of, you know, education they receive, there will be great difference. Let's say parents argue all the time, father got drunken, then what would happen to children in the family? The children would learn it, since they saw it and they heard it. Good children may say, I will never become like that. However, to some extent, you know, they already saw it and they heard it. So chances are that they may do it eventually, what, you know, their father or mother did. So like, you know, evil children go astray. They just stand against their parents. Whatever they see is evil. And they grew up like that. Now, when they got married and give birth to his own children, and when their children don't listen to them, and they say, you know, even though I had a labor and I had a pain in labor, you know, you don't listen to me. And they put blame on their children. They raise their children like that, but they put blame on their own children. There are husband and wife like that. If it is good, then it was my job. But if things didn't go right, then it's your fault. Husband and wife, you know, argue like this. We gotta repent and turn back if we had anything like this in the church. If your children go astray, then you gotta look back on yourself whether it was your fault or not. Is it my fault? You have to look back on yourself and repent. You gotta know whether you inherited from the bad environment from your parents. Our shepherd taught us only goodness and love, and he showed examples. For the last 36 years in Manmin, he showed only the good things. And he sacrificed himself with love and tears to show us the good examples. When did something wrong, when committed sin, when we did something improper before Father God, you know, he put blame on himself and he gave peace offerings to Father God himself on behalf of us. That's what it did. So that in the wrath of God would not be put on us. He gave peace offerings to God. Such goodness, such love, we gotta resemble. Instead of putting blame on others, we gotta put that blame on ourselves. We have to look back on ourselves. What happened to my children? What did I do wrong? And we gotta repent and turn back. And we gotta be more proper in the sight of God. If you put blame on your children, then your children cannot change. Since they learned and heard and saw from you, they cannot revere you. So they cannot, you know, take your advice. They would rather have ill feelings against you. to lead your children to truth, you gotta show good examples. If you can't, you cannot lead them right. The children may get angry at you. They may not express it outwardly, but they may think to themselves that, you know, it is you who gotta fix this. So, if you can change yourself in this case, then it's your blessing, right? There were moments of, you know, God's judgment in the Bible. As I said earlier, Father God could not but, you know, judge people when the world of the people is so full of, you know, unrighteousness and sin and evil. There are three types of God's judgment. First, when the whole country sinned, God threw the country into a big tribulation. Second, when a person sinned, God destroys him. The same goes for people who don't believe in God. Third, when Christians sinned, God punishes them. It's because He wants to let them realize and return because He loves them. First and second cases imply to unbelievers. Even believers, I mean, Father God governs everything. It is in the Bible. Father governs in life and death and fortune and misfortune, everything under the universe, right? So not only believers, but also unbelievers, you know, depending on, you know, what they do and what kind of lawlessness or, you know, goodness they did or righteousness they did, that they would rather receive blessing or in the punishment. The King Herod in the days of Jesus didn't believe in God. He behaved like God. Then God punished him. God governs everyone on this earth. To those who look for God out of their goodness, Father God shows himself to them or reveals him in their dreams. So even before the Christianity was introduced to this country, the man of goodness could foresee the future. General Admiral Lee Sun-shin was like that. And, you know, Lee Hyun-go was also, you know, foresaw the future. Such people of goodness could receive the revelation of God so they could, you know, foresee. We can see it in many forefathers of faith in the Bible. King Nebuchadnezzar, he didn't believe in God. But he could see the future in his dream, and Daniel interpreted it. Why? Because the king Nebuchadnezzar chose good people even though they were captives, and he hired them as in officials. So, Father God works even on those who have in the goodness. However, some evildoers go unpunished. Then people may think, why Father God let them go like that? Why evil people seem prosperous? On the contrary, you know, the life of a man of goodness, you know, not prosperous. Well, it's because the people of the world do not know what sin is. Hebrews 12:8 says, if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are Elizabeth children and not sons. If Father God does not punish us, if Father God does not discipline us, then we are Elizabeth children. Since we are His true children, we are disciplined. Why does the church go in the evil? Some worldly people say like that. You go to church, but you are evil. Well, in the world, I mean, inside the church, we should be sanctified, right? So we can witness, you know, some, you know, evil in the church as we deal with many brothers and sisters in faith. But, you know, you gotta know that it's in the course of, you know, changing ourselves and to be sanctified. So as you see some those you know iniquities, then you gotta pray fervently and change yourself. The worldly people do not know the truth, so Father God let go of them. God doesn't care of, you know, He doesn't care of, you know, illegitimate children. Why? It's because they are under the hands of the devil, hand of the devil. When they cross the limit, the Father God said, even though they are not the children of God, you know, they are punished. So those, you know, who cross the limit or who cross the border see miserable death because they are also in the creatures of God. Father God, you know, casts sunlight equally to evil man and good man and sends rain to both of them. Then why those, you know, unbelievers go unpunished even though they do evil? Some may say, then it would be better not to become a Christian. Some worldly people, you know, think like this. The unbelievers would see judgment eventually later on. But their end is for surely death. So even though they are not punished on this earth, they are already received judgment. So those who don't believe in God don't need to see some in tribulation because they already received judgment. They already judged. But the people of God are loved by Father God. So Father God disciplined them to make them turn back. Wage of sin is death. So Father God cannot let them go alone. He disciplines them so that they will turn back. Let's say you face tribulations. You are in pain. You have so many worries. Those who are sick. If Father God does not know you, then what would happen to you? You came before God. You were healed and you went back to the world again. If Father God let you be the part of the world, then what would happen to you? However, as you see difficulties or tribulations, you realize the love of God again. So you have chance to come back to Father God. When you befriend the world, you committed sin. You committed sin, but you don't know it is a sin. So even though you go to church, Father God will say, I don't know you. When Father God calls your soul, Matthew 7 verses 21 to 23, our Lord said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to you, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So if our Lord punishes us when we are doing something wrong and living in darkness, we would realize that it is His love for us. Since we are the children of God, Father God punishes us so that we would realize our sin and repent and turn back. So even though there is punishment, we know it is a blessing. We should be able to give thanks to God and we gotta rejoice and pray. Only when we receive punishment or tribulation, it becomes our chance to repent and turn back. It will become the moment of blessing. Those illegitimate children, those who are not sons and daughters of God, you know, they just let go of. Father God loves you. So, and Father God does not let you become the illegitimate children. through diseases or difficulties, He lets you realize the love of Father God and realize your sin eventually and repent and turn back so that you can be healthier and receive more blessing later on. That's the love of Father God. So when you face refinement, when you face disease and disasters, when you find untruth and evil revealed, don't be disappointed. But realize that Father God loves you. And Father God works hard to lead you to better heaven. It is the evidence of Father God's love for me. If you realize this, you will realize that you are in the moment of blessing. I got more to deliver, but because of time given, I gotta call it for a day. I'll continue next time, okay? Let me conclude this message. Tonight, I told you about the judgment of God. I told you about the disobedience to the word of God. Adam disobeyed the word of God, and he received the curse. And I told you about the blotting and how Father God does not make us illegitimate children, but out of His love for us, He disciplines us. We live in this end time, which is full of sin and evil. Father God leads us into the truth by giving us truth. Father God accomplished the providence of salvation through Jesus Christ. But people of the world go to destruction without knowing what is goodness and what is evil in this end time. So in this end time, He sent our shepherd so that he would preach about Father God and He manifests the power of God so that people would know Father God is alive and there is heaven and hell. Through His sacrifice and through His obedience and love, we came to know what kind of sacrifice our Jesus Christ made, and what kind of what way of cross He took, why He had to walk that way. We learned by through the examples of our shepherd. We gotta change to become Father God's true children, and we gotta go out to the world as we preach the gospel. We all should become the good fruits of the shepherd of the Lord and of our Father God. I hope that all mommy members will become united as one with love. The love and sacrifice and tears of our shepherd has led us this far. Right now, the evil untruth is being revealed out of our incompleteness. But as you change and have hope for New Jerusalem, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local centers, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables and internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes, and the deaf come to hear, and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns, and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, "I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.